another nugget founded here, not having to do with our good conscience. And what he says in terms of Noah is that the ark, by the way, our sanctuary, is built to look like the ark. Okay, the ark is a big, large box. That's the dimensions. So it's a big rectangle square with a roof on it. That was the ark. It wasn't meant to be seaworthy. It was meant to be sea surviving. That's what this looks like. And the picture of the ark is you enter into the ark and you survive. You were saved. And so what Peter gives us, the idea of the ark, is that as the ark went through the waters, so we also go through the waters, and they're the water of our baptism. That whenever we embrace our baptism, some of us were baptized when we were infants, some of us baptized when we were older, when we embrace our baptism, we are going through the water, and we are saved. In order not only to have the sin washed off, like in the ark, the sin was washed off the world, okay? When we go through our baptism, when we embrace it, the sin's washed off, but also so we can enhance our conscience. That's the whole picture Peter gave to us. Those are two nuggets we find in there. But today, we're looking at the idea of a conscience. In a world that seems like, wow, everything is up in the air, let's look at it. Do we all really have a conscience? So let's define it first. What does it mean to say a conscience? So I looked up in a psychological journal, not Psychology Today, an actual journal, and this is how they define conscience. I did it because they didn't print it big enough. Conscience is a cognitive process that elicits emotion and rational associations based on an individual's moral philosophy or value system. Did you get it? Okay, well, let me give you another one. Webster's Dictionary defined conscience this way: the sense or consciousness of the moral goodness or blameworthiness of one's conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do right or to be good. Did you get that? Let me put it down in, like, a simple sentence. Conscience. It's individual nature based on what they said. And it leads you to an obligation, a moral understanding of the world. Now, biblically, that first definition doesn't go far enough. Biblically, is a conscience is something we all possess. And it's based in how we were created. That's what a conscience is. It's based on the idea that we're made in the image of God, that we possess certain God-like qualities, so that on this earth we demonstrate the likeness of God. A conscience is part of what God has put in us. So when people look at us and say, wow, they're doing good, they see the God-like qualities that God has placed in us. A conscience is our moral barometer with the opportunity to be able to put on my fence, not going to make it. It's amazing. So it's telling you what a conscience is, and it's wrong. Anyway, biblically, a conscience is our moral barometer to say this is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is evil. We may not acknowledge God, but we all have the idea of what's right and wrong. Now, C.S. Lewis, a great moral thinker, he was born in the early part of last century, in the 19th century, and then died actually the same day Kennedy was shot. It's kind of an interesting thought. He began his defense of Christianity, this idea of bringing you to Christianity in his book, Mere Christianity, not from a Christian viewpoint, but from the idea of a conscience. That we all have in us the knowledge of good versus evil. That we all have moral beliefs. That we all have a set of behaviors we know that is right and good, and that is wrong and it's not good. We all have this. And he used the example of something very simple. If I went to you and took something of yours, you would know that was wrong. Right? So right today, if during this sermon I went and I took something right that you have right now, you would say, that's not right. He uses that as the basis, natural law is what he calls it, as the basis that we all have a conscience. And you're like, wait a second, even those in our society that we would say do not function morally, say we use inner city gangs, since they seem to be a big topic of today. If I go on their turf and try and do something on their turf, they would know that was wrong. Obviously, they try to hurt me, if not kill me. That's the idea. This is good. This is evil. I've tried to take something back from them. And across the ages, it does not matter what ethnic group you are. This is a basic fundamental understanding. That if I take something from you, you know that's not proper and right. So what C.S. Lewis highlights for us, goes all the way back to this, which Peter wrote for us, is that we all possess a basis, an understanding, this is right and this is wrong. We all possess it. So since we all have a conscience, Peter now says that we should do something to enhance that conscience. We should make it such that it is good and strong, and of course, Christian in nature, that we have a conscience. All of us possess it, and we have the ability to develop it for good. Let me give you a joke. This is the middle of a sermon joke. An Englishman and an Irishman, this is how the joke's written, go into a bakery, and the Englishman whispered on the way in, "Watch, I'm such a good thief, the baker will never see me." And so in the middle of this, you know, they're in there, and the Englishman takes three little tiny loaves and puts them in his pockets. And he turns to the Irishman and says, "Look, I am so good, the baker never saw me." The Irishman said, "That's just simple thievery. You shouldn't be stealing without paying for it. We have to do it the honest way. I'll show you how to do it." So he goes up to the baker. They're still in the bakery. He goes up to the baker and the Irishman says, "Can I show you a magic trick?" The baker said, "Sure." To which the Irishman took a loaf, tiny loaf of bread, ate it. Took a second one, ate it. Took a third one, ate it, and then turned and smiled at the baker. To which the baker said, "What's the magic trick?" He said, "Those three loaves I just ate, they're in the Englishman's pockets." Y'all get that? Well, the moral of this story is, the Irishman starts off by saying, "It's pure thievery, that's stealing." We all have this conscience. And this is where Peter then highlights the fact, how do you develop your conscience? How do you take it to a deeper, bigger way? And he gave us kind of a continuum. That if we do these things, the end result is our conscience gets stronger and we give glory to God. He starts off with a rhetorical question. Matthew, could you have the scripture up there? I can't quite see it. Can you bring it back? Verse 13. And by the way, thank you, Matthew, for taking over on that base. We appreciate that. But he starts off the rhetorical question, "What harm if you're found zealous for the good?" And I did that translation on my end. We define good and good conscience throughout the course of this passage right here. But literally what Peter's saying is the continuum is, you do right, that develops your conscience, you're blessed, and all for the sake of the glory of Christ. Did you hear that? The goal is to live righteously. To do right things. When you do that, you develop your conscience. You get stronger. Then, you're blessed. You're blessed because of the way God has brought you in. You can leave it right there, Matthew. You can leave it on the scripture. And then, for the sake and glory of God. Okay? The glory of Christ. The opposite is also true. If you don't live rightly, now that's not written into this passage, your conscience never develops. You tend not to get blessed. And it's not for the glory of God. Sometimes when a continuum breaks up, our conscience does not correct. It stays in that, I know there's something right. I know there's something wrong. I don't know what to attribute it to. I just know that's how we should live. Whenever we break it. So Peter highlights the fact, what's the most important thing? Actively doing what's right. Living right. That actively develops your conscience. Salvation Army, as a church, and we follow that this model quite a bit, we do this. We actively follow along. Their motto, Salvation Army, is you give soup, you give soap, present salvation. So doing good is the goal of church. But in order to be heard, the sake of Christ part, you have to do good first. You have to reach out to people and address their most basic needs. That's what's doing right. Right? I would want someone to do that for me. If I was hungry, if I didn't have the means of which I could live, I'd want someone to address that first before they said, oh, you gotta go to heaven. Because once you do right, according to Peter's passage, and you develop that consciousness, then people are more likely to hear. That's the blessed moment. And when you're more likely to hear, you lead them on to Christ. Somebody question your actions. Peter mentions this in his letter. That is real possible. Some might say, whoa, wait a second. This isn't the right way to live. Revenge is the right way to live. Not doing rightly in the midst of someone doing wrong to you. But remember, you're doing what's right to develop our conscience so we can be blessed. All of that is to get to the point of highlighting the fact we live for Jesus Christ. Now, we do this with a lot of our innate abilities. If you have musical talent, you can't automatically get up and sing. You have to develop it. You have to do what's right. Once you've developed it, you're blessed. We do this with our athletic abilities. We have that innately. We do this with our crafting abilities. All of it, we live according to a way, we develop it, and then we're blessed. This is the same way, same truth for Christian character. The Bible gives us many ways of living rightly. We have a food bank box. Please bring in food for our food bank. And the food can bring, just bring in staples. You bring in things that, like, they can pop open and eat, spaghetti, cereal, pancake syrup, or pancake mix and syrup. Bring that in. And we provide, take it down for a food bank. That's doing right. You can see someone through you, and you can reach out to them. That's doing what's right. And every time we do another right thing, we develop our conscience. Now, there was a book a number of years ago, and it became a slogan. How do we live rightly? Follow the acronym WWJD. What would Jesus do? Okay, think about it for a moment. If we follow that way, we've developed our conscience. The end result is we're blessed because we stay out of problematic areas. We don't get in conflict as much, and we can point to Jesus Christ. A person who certainly has lived this out, Mother Teresa, had two quotes I'd like to share with you. The first quote is, it's not how much we give, but how much we love when we give. And what a powerful thought that is. Living rightly, you're doing it from the motive of being able to live for Christ. That's the end result over here. And when we say, I'm going to live rightly, I'm going to do it for Christ, Christ does bless that with a good conscience, and then more ways of reaching out to those around us. And so realize, you can give, but if it's all just for the IRS taxes, not as big developing your conscience. You give because it's the right thing to do. Mother Teresa had another quote I'd like to share with you. She said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. So living rightly means that you touch another person with kind words. Compliment, compliment, compliment. And you touch, you touch, you touch. And by the way, when you do that, you're making a conscious choice to live rightly, which means your conscience is developed. This is an interesting circle project. When your conscience gets fully developed, as you develop it, it gets easier to live rightly. And when it's easier to live rightly, more easier to develop your conscience. And so both of them work together. End result is you're blessed because you can point others to Jesus Christ. Let us go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the gift that you've given to us, the gift of knowledge of your Son. And may we share that. And as we're sharing that, may we realize the goal of why you put us here is to demonstrate your love, to show forth who you are, to live rightly for you. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunities you'll give us each and every day, specifically this day, to do something right for you. May we take that. So so that we can develop who we are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.